95.7 St. Croix Country.
CBS News Brief. 34 days and counting, and the government shutdown is now tied for the longest ever. President Trump wants Republicans to make an end run around Democrats.
If we end the filibuster, we can do exactly what we want.
He tells CBS's 60 Minutes he will not take up health care until the shutdown is over.
I'm not going to do it by being extorted by the Democrats.
Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy tells CBS's Face the Nation he expects shutdown-related delays at the airports to grow.
We've seen problems at L.A., in Dallas, in D.C., Boston, Atlanta, and so I think it's only going to get worse.
Investigators have released photos of two people seen running from a Harvard Medical School building after an explosion over the weekend. Joey Awad's a student.
I just woke up, huge bang, like I felt it in my body. I was really scared. My heart was racing, and then tried to fall asleep, and then like 5 minutes later, I heard another bang.
Officials believe it was intentional. No one was hurt. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There are long TV runs for half-hour shows, and then there are long TV runs for animated half-hour shows. The Simpsons has been on for 37 seasons and counting, and Family Guy has been on for 23. King of the Hill is no slouch either, as it was just renewed for two more seasons, which will bring it to 16. King of the Hill did have a long hiatus, but is back with a vengeance. You can check it out on Hulu. The Paramount Skydance merger has wreaked havoc on the entertainment business, first by laying off a popular talk show host, and now the company has announced it will trim about 10% of its workforce. The Hollywood Reporter reports that 2,000 employees will lose their jobs at the company. Roughly 1,000 people have already been laid off as of October 29th, and another 1,000 are expected to be let go in the near future. With all that money being freed up, maybe they could keep Stephen Colbert around. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are in Indiana to take on their rival, the Pacers. It's the first time Bucks center Miles Turner will face his former team after 10 years in Indy. The Bucks losing to Sacramento over the weekend, 135-133. Men's college basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers at the Kohl Center in Madison against Campbell University. NFL, the Packers stunned by the Panthers, losing 16-13 to Carolina. Green Bay's defense with just one turnover, Micah Parsons.
It's tough. I mean, you always want more takeaways, but the way they played, it was like run, run, quick. I mean, we got some of the stops. We just couldn't finish at the end.
The Packers concerned they've lost tight end Tucker Kraft to a season-ending knee injury.
You know, I think his leadership role and then obviously his play on the field. You know, he's been playing at a high level, so, you know, we'll see what the injury is. But not having him out there for the rest of the game was huge. It's one of those situations, though. I mean, it's the next man up.
That's quarterback Jordan Love with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Day one. The hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the mid to upper 50s this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 10 to 20. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop into the mid 30s for a low. Tomorrow, sunny and warmer with a high right around 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend. And then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
A message from the CDC.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Can you believe it? 33 days since the federal government shut down, and Wisconsin farmers are just like all of you. They've got questions they want answers to. Come on in, everybody. It's a Monday. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Here in Green Bay, where I'm starting my morning, it looks like we picked up a little rain overnight when I let the dog out. There's definitely frost on the vehicles. The good news is this week we warm up quite a little bit. Sunshine on the way for today. Should see daytime highs that push near 60 degrees. Winds might be noticeable out of the west, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Some gusts up to 30. For tomorrow, sunshine and 59. Wednesday, sunshine and 56 degrees. Of course, Stu Mocker, Ag Meteorologist, will give us all the weather details for the state of Wisconsin. He's up in about 15 minutes. We're taking a closer look at rural emergency responder systems. You know, trying to get people to volunteer to be EMS in rural communities is a real struggle. Two bills have recently been signed into law by Governor Tony Evers, designed to try to hopefully encourage more people to take a look at that option. I've got that story for you. And healthcare affordability. You know, Wisconsin farmers are like a lot of you. They really don't worry so much about themselves, but boy, if they've got kids in the picture, they need affordable healthcare. We're going to hear about that this morning with Ben Jarbo. He's also on the way.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Bob.
Quite a season, huh?
Yeah, there was a lot stacked against us. Adjustments throughout the season were key with inconsistent weather and different field conditions. Yeah. But that's where having a solid plan and, you know, data-driven insights instead of just guessing really made the difference.
Yeah. Yep.
It's all about local expertise. We looked at soil types and other research to make sure every acre had the right seed to maximize ROI potential. Crop management was a breeze. Response two scores?
Yeah.
And those yield monitors. Oh, boy. I mean, it's the kind of seed performance that's possible with a customized approach tailored to each field.
Well, that's great. But I was referring to the Greyhounds being undefeated.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah. Yay!
Yeah.
Cropland seed. Anything but typical. Dairy pumps that were designed more than 50 years ago do not meet today's large dairy farm requirements. Bopeller pumps by McFinn Technologies were born and patented this century with a unique and innovative design that ensures gentle, low shear pumping along with efficient, high capacity, and long seal life. Bopeller pumps for all your applications will ensure your dairy is operating with 21st century technology. Bopeller is American innovation. Contact your dealer today.
What a win!
That's how you finish a season.
Pioneer brand four-seed Enlist corn dominated DeKalb SmartStax and VT4 Pro.
An average 7.1 bushels per acre yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
Plus, all that corn rootworm protection and herbicide flexibility.
That's a dream team.
That's Pioneer brand four-seed Enlist corn. In it to win it.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
Every farmer in Wisconsin has a story to tell about what's going on with the crops, with the economics of those crops, and that includes Sarah Stelter from Wautoma. Sarah's past president of the Wisconsin Soybean Growers Association and also on the United Soybean Board. And Sarah, tell us your story here as we're into the fall. You've got corn, you got beans, you got vegetables. What are you doing with them? You selling them? You putting them in the bin?
Well, actually, because of the amount of soybeans and corn I grow, I don't have storage on my farm because of the other crops that I raise. So I'm actually in a conundrum about whether or not to sell or to store. Obviously, if I store my crops, it's going to cost me a lot of money, but will I be ahead further down? There's just no indication whatsoever what's going to go on down the road.
And you've been a farmer that hasn't kind of sat on your hands, so to speak, and just grumbled to yourself. You've gotten involved. with the Soybean Association, and there are some good things potentially on the horizon. Let's talk about some of the issues soybean growers are working with. Talk about the railroads, first of all. What's going on with the railroads and soybeans?
Well, fortunately, the railroads are working hard with the various commodity groups to use biodiesel in their engines. I believe all of the major railroad companies are involved in this, and are actually a number of them are involved in the National Organizations for Sustainable Fuel. So that's really positive. Another thing that we're doing locally here is we're really, the association and the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board are really putting forth a strong effort to promote soy foam, which is made for firefighting. It's for firefighting equipment. It's soy foam that takes the place of foam that contains PFAS. There are some fire departments in our state that have gone totally to soy foam. While it doesn't use a whole lot of soybeans, it's another alternative for where our product can go, and particularly our soy meal.
And that product, while it's made and tested around the Eau Claire area, it's getting a lot of recognition.
Actually, it's won some national awards for being environmentally friendly, and there are more and more fire departments around the country that are going strictly to soy foam. So again, while it doesn't use a whole lot of soybean in terms of, you know, when you compare it to animal feed or anything like that, but the point is it's another way that we can market our soybeans. In addition, we are looking at more uses in industry in general. We've been working with Goodyear Company for a long time in terms of using soy oil in their tires, and they're actually expanding the number, the different varieties of tires that they're going to be putting that in. Wood glue is another prime example of some of the things that Checkoff Money has paid for to promote and also to invest in terms of soybean use.
Now we have Checkoff dollars, research, promotion, and education. And some of the research dollars from the soybean industry have gone into some government directives recently, the MAHA, Make America Healthy Again. Tell us how that has worked, the research, and how they've used it, and what that research was all about.
Well, there were a couple of research projects that showed that actually seed oils, and in particular soybean oil, is not a detriment to people's health. There were some comments about it being a problem with inflammation, and in fact, what they're showing is that it actually helps with inflammation through research. The other thing is there was a big research project, not only with soybeans, but also with corn and canola, that showed that if people converted to using things like olive oil or palm oil, they actually would end up spending a lot more money at the grocery store than they do now. So there's been a bunch of different research in terms of not only the benefits of soybean oil and other domestically grown oils, but also in terms of the monetary effect that that has on our budgets.
Now, you're a corn and a soybean grower, but that's not all. But you pointed out at a recent meeting how these corn and soybean markets, while soybean farmers are feeling a real pinch, corn prices aren't good either, but it trickles down to some of the other crops you grow. Talk about that.
Sure. What folks don't realize is that the grain markets also control a lot of the other products that farmers raise. So when I sign my contracts with canning companies, the canning companies are competing against acres for corn and soybeans, so they're just going to pay maybe slightly more, slightly different than corn and soybeans. So anytime the grain market goes down, our contracts with canning companies goes down. When the grain markets go up, our contracts go up. So the grain markets affect not only the corn and soybeans, it affects a lot of different products within our state.
How much do we see that affecting this year's crop, some of these canning crops that you grow and other producers grow? Have you seen a decrease in acres because of the way these bean and corn markets have gone down? And it wasn't a surprise. We knew this was going to happen.
I would say, if anything, there was probably a little bit more wanting of vegetable acres just because the corn and soybean markets had taken such a dip. We sign our contracts in February, so it's like basically another year before that is really impacted with the store prices and so on. So I think it's maybe even just a wash. It's like farmers are not excited about growing anything, to be honest.
I was going to say, they're not making money in anything in the fields.
They're really not. It's been a struggle to find something that makes some money just because everything's so affected by what's going on in the grain markets.
Mm-hmm. And another issue that the soybean industry is excited about is this aviation fuel. Talk about that and where we are with that and how much promotion and dollars the soybean growers around the country are willing to put into this. And I know Wisconsin is looking at it too.
Well, I don't know the exact figures on dollar amounts right now, but what's exciting in Wisconsin is that the Wisconsin legislature is looking at enacting legislation that would encourage the use of sustainable aviation fuel, which would actually help the farmers as opposed to the producers of the aviation fuel. And that would be huge, and it would also be a huge market eventually for our soybeans.
I know the ocean-going ship industry is also looking at this, but if those two things ever got going for airplanes and ships, that would offset the Chinese market, wouldn't it?
Well, to be honest, I don't know the numbers and how they would compare, but in terms of the maritime stuff, as I understand it, they are working on it, and hopefully it will become a big market down the road.
Are there other research things that are going on that we don't know about from the United Soybean Board? What else are the checkoff dollars being used for?
Of course, the checkoff dollars are being used for improving our soybeans. We all know that our inputs are really high, and over the years, the checkoff dollars have been used a lot in terms of developing soybeans that have resistance to white mold, that have resistance to soybean cyst nematode. So the more we can do in research in terms of developing good, strong, healthy soybeans, obviously it's going to benefit all of us. The other thing is we're continuing to look at developing different products. The soybean oil can now be found in chainsaw oil, and it can now be found in other products. So it's just a continual work towards developing products and working with domestic industry to develop these things.
Mm-hmm. Making those dollars go more in the soybean industry. Sarah Stelter of Wautoma, soybean grower, corn grower, vegetable grower, also part of the United Soybean Board, past president of the Wisconsin Soybean Association. You looking for another job?
No, I'll pass. Thank you.
Sarah Stelter from Wautoma. From the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, LoveLost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo-matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Ag meteorologist with our Ag Weather Update, brought to you courtesy of Compeer Financial. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture. And even if you're looking for that little slice of paradise you want to build out in the country, or maybe you're looking at hunting ground, they talk that language. Check out all the resources they've got available online, compeer.com. All right, what'd you do this weekend with the weather we had? I mean, this morning when I let the dog out, it is crispy. There's frost on the windshields, and I see we got a little bit of rain. Did anybody get measurable?
Most of that was here in eastern Wisconsin, Pam. Green Bay, 0.06 inch. Fond du Lac, 0.18 inch. My gauge south of Fond du Lac said 0.12. My buddy John just east had about 0.1. So that's about it.
Yeah, I forgot to check my talk text line. One of the things I didn't pay attention to this morning. But go ahead and use it if you've got it, folks. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. I kind of like the outlook, though, as far as temperatures this week, Stu.
Yeah, we get some moderation, a little warm up today and tomorrow. That sounds great. We cool it off a little after that. And I have to look ahead, you know, toward the end of the week, some rain chance may redevelop. But right now, I'd say that looks to be a small possibility. But a cool front's dropping southeast in Wisconsin today. That accounted for that rain in eastern Wisconsin. The radar indicating most of that activity over the southern tip of Lake Michigan, up into lower Michigan and southern Canada. So pulling away from us during the day, we start to dry it out. Our atmospheric flow is becoming zonal. What's that? Well, that means that everything's coming pretty much directly west to east, and that tends to keep us a little drier. May mean some fire hazards out in the Rockies, things like that. We'll hear about it. Even with breezes today and fairly dry conditions, some fire possibility that could get out of hand in Wisconsin as well. But we are going to have some pretty nice conditions. Breezy today, but then winds become south, warm us up for Tuesday. We stay mild Wednesday. But that's when the winds return to the northwest. That starts to kick things around a little bit. And what I'm really expecting is later Thursday or Thursday night. Some light rain could be moving on through. Not going to be a big deal, but a little rain Thursday into Friday. And a little cooler as we head toward the weekend. I'll have our forecast details right after this.
We're number one! We're number one!
The Pioneer brand 4-seedless corn team beat DeKalb SmartStax and VT4 Pro.
They scored a 7.1 bushels per acre average yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
They're coming this way.
Woo! We crushed corn rootworm.
How'd you guys do it?
Three modes of action, baby.
How'd you clobber those weeds?
Herbicide flexibility, yeah!
Another winning season.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
Keeping Wisconsin strong.
All business owners want the same thing, to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All right, buddy, I know that we're kind of, what'd you say, 0.6 inch here in Green Bay, but there, this nonstop trickle effect of what's going on with moisture. I know that when I talked to some folks that were at the Packer game yesterday that have been out west, upper elevations out west are really getting quite a little bit of snow for this early part of November. No measurable rain in our foreseeable future, huh?
Not really, Pam. I'd say, again, we're looking toward the end of the week, toward Thursday, and even then we're going to have to use the small measuring stick. It's not going to be a lot. Sunny, breezy today, really pretty mild for early November. I expect some mid and upper 50s with winds that are out of the west, about 10 to 20, gusting near 30, could be some 35-mile-per-hour gusts here and there. A very brisk day, otherwise becoming partly cloudy overnight, a little wind shift. We drop back into the low and mid-30s. West winds become southwest, about 5 to 10. the southwest wind. Pushes temps tomorrow, I'd say mostly sunny south, some clouds in the far northwest, maybe a sprinkle way up toward Hayward, Park Falls. Otherwise, a fair amount of sunshine for everybody. Temperatures in the mid and upper 50s, could be a 60 in the west and south with the south winds. And by Wednesday, back to some sunshine, Pam, a little cooler, low to mid-50s, maybe 57 at Madison, and the winds are going to be out of the northwest again, about 5 to 15. And then that little rain chance toward Thursday.
Yeah, 20th of an inch from Connie and Velders and about a 10th from Butch and Alto, so nobody got much out of this last system. Thanks, Stu. Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
All right, man. Stu Mocker, Ag Meteorologist, with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on a Monday. Talk text line open. Go ahead. Feel free to use it, all right?
This is the Midwest Farm.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of the Todd Alba Show, an interview with UW-Madison's Rural EMS Outreach Program Manager, James Small.
So what is the mission of this relatively new program?
Most of my work is done with local government. So our goal of the program is to work on reliability and sustainability of the EMS response system itself. So a lot of that depends on funding from local government. It depends on organizational structure of the systems. We're not doing anything with patient care or system quality at all. There's other excellent training providers to provide that training. But where the gap really existed was to work with these local governments, particularly the small local governments that don't have the resources, to help walk them through that process, whether it's how do you increase funding, how do you maybe take your two volunteer ambulances and push them together and create one full-time ambulance and split the cost between the two communities. A lot of those kind of discussions.
What's the biggest challenge for these municipalities? And the second part of that, what's the cause in your opinion?
I'm not sure on the cause. I think that we've seen a decline nationwide in the availability of EMS services, particularly with volunteer services, that there's just a decline in availability of volunteers. I don't think that there's a lack of people wanting to go into it. Our licensing data is pretty consistent going back over a decade that at any given point we have about 18,000 people that have licenses in the state. What we do see is that about 7.5% of them are leaving the field every year and turning in their license. Maintaining a workforce, when you think about that, every 12 years we have to train the equivalent of the entire workforce, that's problematic. And then as we've seen the costs increase, that becomes very challenging, I think, for the particularly for the small municipalities to make that lift and look use the tools that are available to create the finances that are necessary to pay for things, because they may be going from a volunteer staff member to a full-time staff member, which is considerably more expensive. And then we also have like hyperinflation in this space, whether it's on capital equipment. Personnel costs are outpacing CPI by 2 to 3-fold going back almost 10 years. So, you know, all at once, where a few years ago you might have been hiring a full-timer for $50,000 a year, that position might be 80 or 90 now.
Wow.
So it's gotten really, really expensive, really, really fast. You know, when it was a volunteer system in the 80s, when a lot of these systems really came of age, there wasn't 911 yet. So the amount of, the access of the system had a barrier in it, which 911 is erased, having that capacity to handle these increases too. Because if you look at some of these systems, you know, if they formed back in the early 70s, they might have done like a dozen calls that first year. That same system might be doing like a couple thousand now.
Really?
And you're trying to do it with the same base that you built it off of these volunteers that came in that wanted to come help the community, and they needed a first aid card and a CPR card because there wasn't even EMS licensing yet. For now, it's a couple hundred hours of training to get in the door.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
CBS News Brief. 34 days in counting, and the government shutdown is now tied for the longest ever. President Trump wants Republicans to make an end run around Democrats.
If we end the filibuster, we can do exactly what we want.
He tells CBS's 60 Minutes he will not take up health care until the shutdown is over.
I'm not going to do it by being extorted by the Democrats.
Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy tells CBS's Face the Nation he expects shutdown-related delays at the airports to grow.
We've seen problems at L.A., in Dallas, in D.C., Boston, Atlanta. And so I think it's only going to get worse.
Investigators have released photos of two people seen running from a Harvard Medical School building after an explosion over the weekend. Joey Awad's a student.
I just woke up, huge bang. Like, I felt it in my body. I was really scared.
my heart was racing, and then tried to fall asleep, and then like 5 minutes later, I heard another bang.
Officials believe it was intentional. No one was hurt. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are in Indiana to take on their rival, the Pacers. It's the first time Bucks center Miles Turner will face his former team after 10 years in Indy. The Bucks losing to Sacramento over the weekend, 135-133. Men's college basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers at the Kohl Center in Madison against Campbell University. NFL, the Packers stunned by the Panthers, losing 16-13 to Carolina. Green Bay's defense with just one turnover, Micah Parsons.
It's tough. I mean, you always want more takeaways, but the way they played, it was like run, run, quick. I mean, we got some of the stops. We just couldn't finish at the end.
The Packers concerned they've lost tight end Tucker Kraft to a season-ending knee injury.
You know, I think his leadership role and then obviously his play on the field. You know, he's been playing at a high level, so, you know, we'll see what the injury is. But not having him out there for the rest of the game was huge. It's one of those situations, though. I mean, it's the next man up.
That's quarterback Jordan Love with sports on Mike Clemens.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the mid to upper 50s this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 10 to 20. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop into the mid 30s for a low. Tomorrow, sunny and warmer with a high right around 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Darren Von Ruden appearance on Matt and Air on Air.
How are our dairy farmers doing?
So Dad Cap's latest numbers showed that we're down to just a little bit over 5,200 dairy farms. Back in 1986, when I graduated from high school, we had 44,800 and something dairy farms in the state of Wisconsin. And so today, now with that information coming out, we've dropped a lot faster than I thought we would. Back in the late 90s, I did some work on dairy pricing reform and tried to get a system in that would hopefully keep more smaller farms in business, and have not succeeded in that yet. And so, you know, we're looking at that number, you know, continuing to dwindle. So next year, by the time my 40-year graduation date is, I'm pretty sure we're going to be under 5,000 dairy farms in the state of Wisconsin, because we're still losing one and a half a day. Since 2020, we've lost 25% of the dairy farms here in the state. And, you know, that just, it's disheartening. Really, it should be looking at a national security issue for a couple different reasons. Number one, because diversity is always the best way to have a food system. If you get too congregated, it really puts the whole system at stake. And, you know, number two, we just have to make sure that we have a high quality workforce. We're losing those generations of high quality workers.
I guess the question, and something we always talk about, Darren, on the show, whether it's with you or with other farmers or just in general when we're discussing this topic, is the government's role in working with the farmers and the farming industry. What is, in your mind, and I don't even want to say a perfect world, but what does the government do in your version that helps sustain the amount of farmers, grow them, or at least take care of them to the place where they're not having to worry every single day about shutting down. What do you want to see from the government as far as partnership? What do they need to do?
So number one thing is make sure that there's a fair market. Looking at what's going on across the country with the very uncompetitive markets that we see, because we can't sell our products into a market that's not being manipulated by big business at this point. It's been that way for decades already. It's just getting worse because we have less players there. Number two, making sure that farmers get a plus production for the products that they produce so that they can stay in business and that, you know, new farmers can actually come into the business too. Or number three, stop handing out government checks to the largest farms at prices at an amount that's way above what should be.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
In the AM, the Zone.
Well, hope you enjoyed your weekend. 33 days now the federal government has been shut down. That's leading to a lot of anxiety for a lot of people, and that includes Wisconsin farmers. Talking about it a little bit this morning and finding out how much they depend on the Affordable Care Act, which is one of the sticking points keeping the government shut down. I am the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report on this, the third day of November. A couple of interesting little tidbits you might want to note as of today. On this day back in 1998, Tommy Thompson won his fourth term as governor of the great state of Wisconsin. He defeated Dane County Democrat Ed Garvey to win a historic fourth term as governor on this day back in 1998. Let's see, we've got on this day in 2014, the One World Trade Center officially opened in New York City. This is on the same site of the Twin Towers. We've got some happy birthdays for you. Happy birthday to boxer Larry Holmes, 76 today. Colin Kaepernick, where is he now? He turns 38. And Roseanne Barr, believe it or not, celebrating her 73rd birthday. And now you know. Well, the Affordable Care Act is just one of the stumbling blocks that's keeping the government from reopening in Washington, D.C., and it's catching a lot of people in a tough spot, including Wisconsin farmers. Ben Jarboe finds out how dependent a lot of our Wisconsin farm families are on the Affordable Care Act.
Making sure you are getting what you need out of your health care is very important for the rural community, but it may be hard to know exactly what it is you do need. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report, and those needs change if you have children or are a farmer. Stephanie Plaster, a business development outreach specialist with UW-Madison Extension, is here to share what some of those needs may be.
Children can really change your healthcare needs in many ways. So that's from the support needed through pregnancy, birth, and aftercare to new pediatric services that need to be covered. And the interesting thing here is parents might never see the need to visit the doctor themselves, but it becomes a completely different ballgame when you have children that are not feeling well or experiencing a health issue. So you want to make sure you have access to the right services, and you have some backup funds to cover those services or insurance to cover those services when you need them, so that that doesn't add an additional layer of stress.
And there are many farms here in Wisconsin that do need to hire employees and may offer health care as part of the package with that. How should they go about looking at what they should be offering within that health care plan?
So farms, they have, depending on their size and their scale, there's some options available to them. And so we have a really great handout. It's a series of documents available where farms can examine what different options they have to covering health insurance for their employees. So again, many different options. It's going to depend on the farm itself. It's going to depend on how they want to go about covering health insurance costs, or if they do, or if they have the funds to do that. So we have different tools and fact sheets available if they want to explore that.
And is there anything else that you think should be mentioned here when we are looking at rural health care, whether it be probably increased payments if there were an emergency and you need an ambulance, or just anything in that realm that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I think one of the key things to keep in mind that farms are so unique in many different ways. And they're our homes. They're the places where our family members gather to live, to work, to play. They're active work sites, which can have really dangerous equipment and livestock on them, which affect our health and safety. So having some type of healthcare and health insurance plan can really do a lot to protect both you, your family, and your business. And I think the time you invest in planning for that and for selecting the right tool for you and your farm and your employees can really go a long way in protecting you in the future.
Earlier, we were talking about things that insurance companies might try to slip past you that you don't need, but what are some of those things that the farmers and people that live in rural areas when it comes to healthcare might need that, say, the urban audience wouldn't?
Different healthcare needs that the farmers need that urban audiences wouldn't. You know, I don't know that I can say that on a general level because it's really going to depend on the health situation with your specific, like yourself specifically and your family, because it's... There's so many different things that people can have, and that's not necessarily specific to rural versus urban. It's more of, you know, your own personal health journey.
Stephanie says that no two cases are the same, but starting your planning early is a step in the right direction. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand Vorseed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Vorseed Enlist beats DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro yields by an average of 7.1 bushels per acre across more than 24,000 comparisons, right?
Yes, Coach!
And Vorseed Enlist has three modes of action against corn rootworm.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach. Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Bob.
Quite a season, huh?
Yeah, there was a lot stacked against us. Adjustments throughout the season were key with inconsistent weather and different field conditions. Yeah. But that's where having a solid plan and, you know, data-driven insights instead of just guessing really made the difference.
Yeah. Yep.
It's all about local expertise. We looked at soil types and other research to make sure every acre had the right seed to maximize ROI potential. Crop management was a breeze.
Yeah,
response two scores.
Yeah.
And those yield monitors. Oh, boy. I mean, it's the kind of seed performance that's possible with a customized approach tailored to each field.
Oh, that's great. But I was referring to the Greyhounds being undefeated.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah. Yay!
Yeah.
Cropland seed, anything but typical.
So a couple tweets over the weekend catching the attention of the cattle market. Apparently, we've got a few more details on the measures agreed to last week between the United States and China, including progress on some agricultural trade barriers that have been imposed by China and suspension of port service fees that raise costs for U.S. exporters. U.S. Meat Export Federation's president, Dan Holstrom, says that they're encouraged by the progress being made in trade negotiations with China, and we appreciate the Trump administration's emphasis on restoring market access for U.S. agricultural exports. He says if China follows through on its commitment to suspend all retaliatory tariffs announced since March 4th and to suspend or remove all retaliatory non-tariff countermeasures taken since that date, it puts U.S. pork in a much more positive position in the Chinese marketplace. That's just one item that the market's focused on this morning. Grain trade is actually a little bit more positive, perhaps in part because of that. The November soybeans are up 8 cents right now at 11.08. January's up a nickel at 11.20. Corn market's still holding firm. December corn right now is up a penny at 4.33, with March up a penny, 4.45. July wheat currently 6 cents stronger at 5.73 a bushel. Dairy still seems to be struggling just a little bit, perhaps because of the uncertainty about the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. On Friday, as far as dairy was concerned, barrel cheese was down a penny and a half at 180 and a half. 40-pound block cheese down 5¾ cents, 176¾. AA butter, that was up 3¾ cents at 161 a pound. So far this morning, the November class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 13 at 17.26. December's down 7 at 17.15 a hundredweight. You know, we're still keeping an eye on what's happening with livestock prices after the flap and dust up over potentially seeing Argentinian beef coming into the United States, Brazilian beef. They're still keeping an eye on the tight supply right here in the United States. Carrie Fish, or should say Cassie Fish, is a cattle market analyst and a blogger for The Beef. She says, despite the fluctuating news headlines that we've seen in the recent weeks, the U.S. still has a really tight cattle supply.
We do. We have the tightest supply of the entire bull market cycle right in front of us, November into next summer. The first quarter will be excruciatingly tight. So you're absolutely correct. But people do remember, you know, the market topped in the fourth quarter of 2014 and went down during 2015. And that when we have also had our tightest numbers. Now, we do not have the same set of demand that we had then. Demand was poor in 2015. Demand has been excellent, despite the fact that we do have record high prices. We've had incredible beef demand for all categories of beef.
Cassie Fisher, she is an analyst and a blogger for The Beef. So it sounds to me like if you've still got freezer space and can maybe partner up with a local grower, you might want to stock up on beef. Doesn't sound like that supply situation is going to turn around anytime soon. Boy, supply situation is exactly what we're talking about next with Wisconsin Senator Howard Markline. Ever since the pandemic, it seems like there's less volunteerism, and that's really impacting rural services like emergency responders. Two bills have recently been signed into law that are hopefully going to try to encourage more people to think about volunteering as emergency responders. We're going to talk about that next on a Monday morning.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Did you know VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served?
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
on it, not just this year, but for the past few years, trying to figure out how we can get more people in rural communities to become involved as emergency responders. Now, two bills have been signed into law by Governor Tony Evers to try to provide a little financial support for those folks that do decide that they'll step up, and for the communities that have been caught between the expense of providing those services versus reimbursement. Mark Lane tells me that it's not something that he just decided to focus attention on. It's been a concern of his for quite a while.
So probably 7 or 8 years ago, we call them EMS summits. I did a number of these all over my district in Darlington and Lancaster and Elroy. And we heard from volunteer EMS units, EMTs, volunteers, and we got some incredibly good feedback. And one of the biggest challenges we have out in rural Wisconsin is the lack of volunteers. It's getting people to, after they've farmed all day or after they've come home from their job to volunteer for their local EMS unit. So some of the concerns that we heard was the cost of training, so it's $1,000 plus to take the classes to become an EMT. Concern was the state keeps adding training hours. They just, and I've seen this over and over again, where they, we're at 140 hours and we add 40 more. And again, if you're in Janesville or Milwaukee or Madison, it probably doesn't maybe mean much, but if you're, in our rural areas, that's a big deal. So as a result of all these meetings we've had with our rural EMS units, Tony Kurtz and I authored a couple of different bills. And one of them, and they were both signed into law recently, and they both passed both houses and were signed into law. One of them would reimburse our students for taking these classes, okay? It's $1,000 plus. And you think about that somebody has made the decision to volunteer their time for their community to take the classes and all that stuff. At least we can do is pay for the cost of the class. Okay. And then the other thing is the tech colleges are the primary trainer of our EMTs. And what happens, and this happens in my part of the state as well, is that a full class may be 10 students. And we get 6 students to sign up for the class. Well, the tech college says we can't. We can't run it for 6. So they cancel it. That means we've got 6 people that had made the decision to spend the time and money, money to attend, and we turn them away. So what we're going to be doing is telling our tech colleges, basically, and the state's going to provide the backfill of the money there. I'd rather have 6 trained EMTs in our rural areas than 0. So we're removing that barrier, which I think is a good one. Another thing the bill did was we have a number of cases where we respond to a call, but we don't transport. Okay. And the state reimburses for these Medicaid calls. A lot of them are Medicaid, $69. Well, we can't send a ambulance out with a staff to a call for $69. It's just, you can't do it. And so we're increasing that reimbursement to $175, which, again, they're not going to make any money on it, but at least it'll cover more of their costs. So, and then the final thing I wanted to highlight was these hours increases. They're done without a whole lot of oversight by anybody. And so we're requiring them basically to come back to the legislature and explain that your justification for adding these hours. Cause I'll never forget the conversation I had many years ago with one of the trainers from Southwest Tech in Fenimore. They were raising the hours by another 40 hours. And I shared my concerns. And this woman said, well, if there's an accident in Highway 151, which is in my district, I want to make sure that the people that respond to the call are appropriately trained. And I said, well, I can appreciate that. But I want to make sure that if there's an accident on 151, somebody shows up. I mean, you're worrying about having I just want somebody to show up and not in a timely manner, not have to wait, you know. So, and again, these bills do not affect Madison. They don't affect Milwaukee, Janesville, Green Bay, any of the urban areas, but they sure are going to affect our rural communities.
That's just a portion of my conversation with Wisconsin Senator Howard Markline, chair of the Joint Finance Committee, and a fellow from a rural district that's been hearing about the lack of resources for emergency responders in rural communities. You know, stop and think about it. The territory that they have to cover, the distance they have to drive to respond to some of these calls. And now he's hopeful that at least the two bills that have been signed into law will continue to encourage people that have the spirit to be a part of the emergency response system to go through the process of getting their training and not suffer financial consequences because they do it. And like you said, also making sure those rural communities that don't go broke trying to provide emergency response services for rural communities. That's just one of our conversations you'll find at MidwestFarmReport.com. Don't forget, download our brand new Midwest Farm Report app, and you'll also be able to keep up to speed there too. Tomorrow, we'll get up to speed on what's going on with these crazy markets. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, back with us tomorrow morning. See you then.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Federal food and nutrition guidelines are off the mark, according to one conservative group, next on Farm to Fork. As you've probably heard by now, the 12 agricultural safety and health centers around the country did receive a renewal of their federal funding support and will not be shutting down. Many of those centers had projects in progress, and those will now be able to continue. Also continuing the Ag Safety and Health campaign on Farm to Fork. To learn how you can assist with that, visit the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com. I'm a fix-it-yourselfer, but I also know there are times when I'm in over my head. My wife has a saying, will anything bad happen? If the answer is even maybe, then call a professional. Too many farmers have gotten hurt or killed by trying to fix a problem themselves. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. The Heritage Foundation says the American diet is a disaster, and public policy is not doing enough to change that. The foundation's Jay Richards talks about an initiative called Restoring American Wellness.
We think that this cluster of issues about health and especially chronic childhood disease is the largest gap in the policy arena in Washington, D.C. I mean, the reality is if you wanted to talk about USDA food guidelines, if you wanted to talk about the way in which drugs are added to the CDC vaccination schedule, or there's 25 issues like this that if you follow them, you know how important they are. And you know that they're almost certainly connected to policy, which is usually well-meaning, but the outcomes are often not so much.
Richard says food guidelines were set up based on the science at the time.
There is a correlation in the United States between this massive increase of chronic metabolic diseases among adolescents and adults and the USDA food guidelines in which the federal government decided to give us all lots of advice about how we should eat. Now, by itself, correlation doesn't prove causation, but a lot of people, including me, think that these things are actually connected, not because there was a conspiracy to make Americans sick, but because a particular scientific picture got calcified, unfortunately, became the sort of official science, and now it's really hard to change, though.
More tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Live from Northwest Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 95.7 St. Croix Country, WSCM Baldwin, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 95.7 St. Croix Country. Live from Northwest Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 95.7 St. Croix Country, WSCM Baldwin, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 95.7 St. Croix Country.
When the sun goes down on my side of town, that lonesome feeling comes to my door, and the whole world turns blue. Down bar across the railroad track, I got a table for two way in the back, where I sit alone and think of losing you. I spend most every night beneath the light of a neon moon.